Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, December 11th, 2014. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Sean Terrell from 2 Mile Brewing Company joins us to talk chili beers. How do you bring the flavor of chili peppers into your brew without burning your taste buds off? If you're new to home brewing or would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. You can find me on Twitter. My username is Basic Brewing, all one word. We have a Basic Brewing Radio and Basic Brewing Video page on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing. We're on the Google Plus, too. Thanks again to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. Whenever you think of Amazon, especially during this busy, busy holiday season, think of us first. Go to our website, basicbrewing.com, click on our associate link, the little Amazon logo on the right-hand side of the page. It will take you to Amazon. You can shop to your heart's content. It won't cost you any extra, but you'll be helping us to bring you this show, and we greatly, greatly appreciate your support. We also have associate links for Brew Your Own Magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site as well. You can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on iTunes, our Android app on Amazon.com. We have a Windows Phone app, we're in the BlackBerry podcast directory, and we're on the Stitcher app as well. If you want to put a tip in our tip jar, some coinage in our guitar case, you can go to basicbrewing.com/support. Thanks to everybody who's done so already. And Steve and I are thinking about what we're going to do for the bonus content for people who have contributed to the tip jar over the past year and for those who have bought the app as well. So we're planning on shooting a video. We don't know what it is yet, but we're going to do that soon. People are ordering our new Jumbo Combo from our site. This combo has all four of our DVDs, our logbook, and our bottle opener at one low holiday special limited-time price. If you already have our stuff, the Jumbo Combo makes a great gift for a new brewer or someone who you think needs to get into the hobby for the first time. Check out that at basicbrewingshop.com. And, reminder, it's time to get a logbook for 2015. Start the year fresh with a fresh new book. It is time to send in your homebrew disaster story for our annual homebrew disaster show. We're getting those in, and they are pretty disastrous so far. This year, the show will actually fall on our January 1st episode, so we'll start off the year in a disastrous way. The Brewhauler folks are back on board to donate prizes for this year's episode, and we'll probably throw in some Basic Brewing stuff in there too, maybe. I'm setting Christmas Day as the deadline to submit your disaster story, and I did that because it's easy to remember. And we'll be taking that week off as well. So Steve and I will get together the week after Christmas to record the disaster show. So get your disaster stories in. Let's take a quick look into the mailbag. Dan from the UK writes, "Hey James, as someone who just completed their brewing degree in the UK, I thought I'd chime in on a few topics from the last podcast." Remember last time we talked to a representative from the Campaign for Real Ale over there. Had a good conversation. Number one, not only do they have Coors in the UK, but here's a pic of the monstrous Coors Brewery in Burton-on-Trent. Luckily, there's an excellent pub across the street that, number two, serves all their cask ales on the bar top via gravity feed. Having fresh Bass on cask is a different beast from the bottled stuff. And three, finally, not only are there many new UK breweries emulating American styles, some of the best have Yanks as head brewers. Siren and Wild Beer Company are my personal faves. And Dan says, on a side note, I'd like to thank you, Steve and Andy, for a great content you provided over the years. When things in my studies got a little hairy, hearing you guys cackling like idiots and conducting wacky experiments reminded me that it's supposed to be fun. Thanks, Dan. Dan sent me the picture of the big old Coors Brewery in Burton-on-Trent, and I hope they're not filtering all those wonderful minerals out of the water that they're using for the beer. Speaking of cackling like idiots, Steve and I have gotten together to shoot a video episode on Partyguile Brewing. Steve put his own spin on Partigal Brewing in his kitchen, and we shot video of that, did a show. As in Partigal Brewing, it is a two-parter. We enjoyed some malty beverages, home and commercially brewed, so we kind of got goofy. I haven't reviewed the footage, so I hope it all makes sense by the time I put it all together. We had a lot of fun, and we hope that you will have a lot of fun watching us. And we came out with two beers that I think will be very different and very tasty that we'll have to taste on a future episode. And I hope to post the first part of the two-part series on Friday of this week. So stay tuned for that. Now let's get into the conversation with Sean Terrell. Sean has been on the show before, including another time when he came to town. And the last time Sean was in Northwest Arkansas, we had one brewery. Now the scene is quite different. There are a bunch of breweries here in town. The day before we met up, Sean went to Ozark Brewing in Rogers, which is a wonderful place, and Bike Rack Brewing in Bentonville, which just opened, and we haven't been there yet. And the next day, Sean met me in Fayetteville for lunch at West Mountain, and we wound up eating supper with Andy at Apple Blossom. And in the middle, Sean and I went to Fossil Cove to swap some homebrew, taste the local fare, and chat about brewing with Chili Peppers. Sean Terrell, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
We are in the currently unoccupied tasting room of Fossil Cove Brewing Company here in Fayetteville, and Ben Mills has kindly let us use this facility for a bit, so we're enjoying that. We're enjoying one of your beers, which we're going to talk about here in just a couple of minutes, but bring us up to speed. It's been a while since we've talked to you. Where are you and what are you doing?
Well, I'm in Leadville, Colorado. I think the last time I was on, we had just gotten started in the process of starting up a brew pub. So that very slow, laborious process is ongoing, but we're getting close and should be on track for a spring opening. I would remind people that spring in Leadville starts in June.
And if people want to find out more about the brewery, where do they find you?
Easiest thing to do, just go to 2milebrewing.com. You can even misspell it a couple different ways. And there we have a blog and links to Twitter and Facebook and all the other ways you can get a hold of us.
And talk about your system that you're putting in and talk about the beers that you're... Give me the elevator talk.
All right. Well, it is a brew pub, so very much the focus is on building a sense of community, having a space where people can come and socialize with their friends and family. And in keeping with that, we're going to focus on some lower gravity beers, 4 or 5% range for most of the flagships, and serve some good food. We'll have a limited menu, but a full kitchen. The idea as far as the beer is to keep a Belgian, an English ale, and lager yeast strains in rotation. So that'll let us do, in addition to our four flagships, pretty much any seasonal that catches my fancy.
And what are your favorite yeast strains that you're targeting?
I'm using Y yeast, and I think they all have White Labs equivalents, but they're 1272 for our American and British style ales, 2206 for the lagers, and 3522 for our Belgians, which is the Schoof strain. I'm a big fan of that. As far as Belgian strains go, it's really flocculent, which is great for pub brewing.
And did you tell me that this is going to be the highest brewery altitude-wise in the country?
Yes, we will. We're at, I haven't actually surveyed it, but we're at 10,150 feet, give or take 10. And I don't anticipate anyone opening above us unless they want to go into an unincorporated area. Leadville is the highest incorporated area in the United States.
Wow. Which is another reason why you probably want session beers.
Absolutely. I've seen quite a few tourists fall off of bar stools.
Literally. Well, there you go. We wish you the best of luck, and that'd be a fun place to visit one day when you get up and running. But we corresponded via email a little while back, and you said that you wanted to talk about chili beers because we had been we did the chili sauce or the salsa episode, the hot sauce episode, And I asked for help in formulating pepper recipes and such as that. So you have brought along, well, describe this beer.
This is actually the APA recipe that I'm working on for the pub. And to do something a little bit different with this batch, I took about a gallon of it and decided to add some habanero to it. And I think we'll get to specific pepper varieties in a little bit, but habanero is a great one to play with American hops because it has that same sort of bright citrusy character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is very nice beer. And the heat, it's very fruity. I get the kind of tropical fruit, the mango and sort of probably peach. But there's a little bit of heat in the back, but it doesn't blow you away.
Yeah, part of being a pub brewer is having to say, okay, if someone can't successfully drink a pint of this and then want a second, I haven't done my job. I'm a big chili head in addition to being a hop head and most every other kind of head. but if it smacks you over the palate with that first sip, people probably aren't going to come back for more. Obviously, when people are brewing these at home, they can go as much or as little as they want, but especially when you're playing with something like a habanero that has a lot of piquancy to it, it's best to start low and work your way up.
And when you say piquancy, that's heat, basically, right?
Right, heat or spiciness. This is a word that we don't use much in English. In other languages, you know, picante is, people would know what you were talking about, but it's not actually a flavor. The piquancy of chilies is caused by capsaicin, which is an essential oil in the fruits, and it's actually detected not by taste buds, but by your mucous membranes, which if you've eaten too much piquant food, you can tell that you have mucous membranes in other places the next morning.
Or if you were chopping up a chili pepper and you wipe your eye, you can tell, or your nose, or various other parts of your body as well.
All right. Well, I don't know what you do in the kitchen, but...
Well, I do. When Ed Nicholson came over to make his hot sauce, he brought along a Carolina Reaper, which I talked about on the show, and we cut it up into little pieces. And I didn't have any gloves on when I did that. And I was like, this is not going to be a problem. I'll just wash my hands. Well, I washed my hands, but even though I did wash my hands, later on when I went to the bathroom, I found out that stuff sticks around. That's one consideration, I guess, when you're brewing with peppers, is that this stuff is an oil and it does stick around, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's very weakly soluble in water. Something that I like to do, I keep a spray bottle of just isopropyl alcohol in the brew house for sanitizing and flaming things. And capsaicin is pretty strongly soluble in alcohols. So if you spray down your hands with that before you wash them, I find that that's at least the best way I've found to cut down on that heat. A lot of people wear gloves. Obviously, that helps out a lot.
That's the sane way of doing things.
I never claimed to be sane.
But do you have to worry about, say, if you're brewing in plastic or your plastic hoses or things like that, is the capsaicin going to adhere to that such that you may need special preparation to get it off?
As long as you're following a sort of best practices cleaning regimen on that stuff, it shouldn't be an issue. An alkaline cleaner like PBW or CMC, OxyClean, that sort of thing should take any sort of oils you have adhered off. It's always best to give things a smell test just in general when you're working with plastics, and that should give you a pretty good idea. If there's any serious capsaicin left, it's going to jump out at you.
Now, you forwarded me a link to an article that you wrote about pepper beers, and I might post that in the description of this episode. But in the article, you say that basically when you're brewing with chilies, you are making fruit beers.
Yeah, absolutely. Chilies are the fruits of a flowering bush, one of several flowering bushes in a genus called Capsicum. And they are literally fruits. they have seeds and ribs. You know, I think probably almost everyone's familiar with the red and green bell peppers. We can get other colors now. But all chilies will have that same essential structure that you would recognize from any fruit.
And so you can use some of the same theories in brewing with chilies as you do with other fruits?
Absolutely. And probably the biggest difference is just going to be quantity. You know, if you're doing a raspberry beer, you can go into the range of pounds per gallon. In chilies, we're talking about ounces, if not grams, just depending on how much piquancy is in the chilies and how much you want in the beer.
Yeah, I guess there are certain rules that can be universal across the whole wide spectrum of chilies. But when you're talking about chili peppers, you might as well be talking about fruit. In other words, when you talk about fruit, there's hundreds of different kinds of fruit, and there are also many, many different kinds of chili peppers as well. So talk about the range of scale that we're talking about.
Okay, yeah. The Scoville heat scale is how we measure the piquancy of chilies, and this was originally a very crude method of trying to quantify how piquant, how hot the chilies were, where they would actually dilute it into sugar water and have blind tasters sample it, and when you can no longer taste it, you've diluted it to the point where you're at what we call one Scoville unit.
The homeopathic method of...
Exactly. Less is more. Yeah, so modern chili cultivars run from zero Scoville units for the bell peppers up to 1.5. I think some of these varieties are pushing 2 million units. 2 million is kind of an interesting number because that's law enforcement pepper spray.
That explains it.
So something like that Carolina Reaper is just about as potent as far as capsaicin content as pepper spray.
And I can vouch, you know, I ate a piece that was about half the size of my pinky fingernail, and it did have a flavor. It did have kind of a fruity flavor for about 4 seconds. But and I can tell you that, you know, chewing on that and swallowing it, I had about 4 seconds of margin where I didn't have any pain at all. And it was just like, oh, that's tape. Oh, you know, and then my mouth was on fire. My forehead was sweating. My breathing was labored. My heart was racing just on that little bitty teeny tiny piece. So even the hot peppers have a flavor that we can take advantage of. How do we take it if we don't want a beer that's going to be super, super hot? How do we take advantage of the peppers' flavor in the beer without just burning our tongues off?
The first and easiest thing to do is to remove the white membrane from the inside of the pepper that kind of surrounds the seeds and adheres to the inside of the flesh. Most of your other flavor compounds are going to be in the actual flesh of the fruit, and essentially you're just getting capsaicin out of that white pithy material. So as a first pass at it, just split the pepper open and scrape everything out. And especially I think we'll talk a little bit more about this beer in a second, but, you know, this is a habanero beer. Habaneros can be very, very hot. And while they have a wonderful citrus flavor, it's relatively delicate compared to all of that capsaicin that you're getting. So removing those seeds with something this piquant is really almost necessary to get any sort of other effect out of the chili.
Yeah, and I think that you've done well, because as the heat is building as the beer warms up, and as I keep taking sips of it, I'm pretty much a hothead, but even I'm starting to get more heat on the back of the tongue, but it's not uncomfortable. You say it's not a flavor, but it is a component of the character of the overall beer, and I think it goes well with it. Talk about what else is in this beer.
This is actually a pretty basic recipe for an American pale ale. It's about 85% pale two-row malt, 10% Munich malt, a light Munich, and about 5% of a British medium crystal. So it's just my standard pale ale grist. The hopping is mostly Calypso, which is a great new hop, been on the market maybe 3-4 years that I think a lot of people aren't familiar with yet. And then there's a little Centennial and some Chinook.
Well, it's delicious. Like I say, it's very fruity. How did you handle the peppers in this beer?
For this particular beer, I did generally sort of my standard chili addition, which is I rinsed the chilies to get the dirt off of them, and then split them down the middle, scraped out the white material from the inside, and then put those split chilies into just about an ounce or so of neutral spirit, of vodka, and let it steep there for 3 or 4 days. And that's going to really speed the extraction and, you know, get the capsaicin and all of the other flavor compounds out of the chilies and into that vodka. And then what you can do, and this is especially good because if you're buying your chilies at a supermarket, they won't have come from the same plant as the last time you got them. So the piquancy can vary considerably. So you can then take a sample of the beer and add your extract in the vodka drop-wise until you get the level that you want, and then scale up to the full batch or whatever amount you're going to be dosing with it.
It seems like a sane way of doing it. I've used ancho chilies, dried ancho chilies, in beer, in my mole beers, and I just put those in a hop bag in the secondary, and then just checked on it every now and then. But I can tell where this would be a more more measured, literally, a more measured approach to put in the heat and the flavor in the beer. But I guess, I mean, theoretically, you could put peppers into any part of the brewing process at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like any other fruit, if you wanted to, you could presumably use them in the mash. I'm not sure you'd get much out of it. You could add them in the kettle and you would have some of the same issues with pectin haze that you would have with any other fruit. You could add them like a dry hop in the fermenter, or you could go in at serving in a keg or even in the glass.
Yeah, with your method of making, would you call that a tincture?
Tincture, extract, I don't know if there's a difference.
But you could dose those, you know, like using syrup with a Berliner Weiss, you could dose, let everybody dose their own beer, and that way they could have the heat that they desired.
Absolutely, and even try different chilies or different combinations on a glass-by-glass basis. I tend to keep extracts of 3 or 4 different chilies in the kitchen for cooking, so I'll do that sometimes when I'm pouring a pint off the keg, say, oh, I'd like this to be a chipotle porter this evening.
Yeah, chipotle, that is a pepper that adds more than one flavor, because you've got the flavor of the jalapeno. Chipotle pepper is a smoked jalapeno, right? Yep. So you have the flavor of the jalapeno, and you have the smoke as well. What are some examples of good pairings of different chilies and different styles of beer?
Well, the two we've mentioned already, the habanero pale ale, habanero IPA, and chipotle porter, are probably two of my favorites. You mentioned ancho, which is a dried poblano pepper. It tends to be relatively mild on the piquancy, but because it's dried, has that some of those same smoky, earthy sort of flavor compounds. So things like that are great for any sort of maltier or roastier beer, porters, stouts. You know, I think something like a dark Belgian ale would do well with something like that. Some other jalapenos I think everybody's familiar with. They don't tend to have a lot of flavor apart from their piquancy, sort of a green pepper or even sort of a vegetal character, but they work really well for adding just sort of a neutral piquant essence to a beer. I brewed a Berliner Weiss that I dosed with a little jalapeno here and there, and it was made it a very refreshing sort of twist.
Are there any beers that you can think of that would not be, or that you have found are not good pairings with peppers or with heat?
It's a great question. For my tastes, I don't think so. When you started asking the question, I was going to say other fruit beers, you know, if you have a raspberry porter or something like that. But then I thought, you know, a raspberry chili porter sounds pretty good. So if you're into chilies at all, I would say try adding them to anything and just see what you think.
You get a cherry porter sounds good. Cherry and the chocolatey flavors of the dark grains, and there are chocolates out there that have the spiciness of a pepper in them as well. The thing that I would be curious about would be like a light-bodied beer, like a Pilsner or something like that. I mean, it seems like in my mind, and I could taste a beer that could change it, I would want some body to go with the heat to kind of counterbalance. And it seems like if you had a kind of thinner mouthfeel beer that maybe it wouldn't pair as well. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you could definitely with some of those lighter beers get into a point where it's just a chilly beverage as opposed to a chilly beer. On the lager spectrum, I've done a green chili Oktoberfest, which was terrific. But you have some of those richer malty flavors to play off of. Just like in cooking, savory and piquant are a really good combo. So any beer where you're going to get those sort of richer malt flavors is probably a good place to start.
Steve Wilkes did an experiment a while back where he split a 5-gallon batch into 5 1-gallon jugs and then steeped different peppers in each. And that was really interesting because with the dried ancho, you know you get this raisinous, dark fruit character along with a little bit of heat, and then he had these little piquin peppers, I think they're called, little bitty orange peppers, and just a couple of those in that 1 gallon was plenty because there's plenty of heat. But one thing that we did after we tasted the beers individually was to blend. You know, do some blending from one beer to another. I don't know if we wrote it down or not, but because we were drinking beer at the time. But I think in that way, you know, theoretically, you could find a blend of different peppers that have different characteristics that come into it. So you don't have to be one-dimensional and just use one kind of pepper. You can mix it up.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just, you know, say to, like with any other recipe component, start simple. You know, you're not going to make a great IPA starting with 8 hop varieties. It might end up there, but it probably started with 2 or 3. You know, if you've got so many things going on that you're muddying the waters, you aren't going to be able to pick out exactly which components are contributing which flavors.
So start, I think your idea of using the distilled spirits as a way to draw out the flavors, I think that's another easy way to play with those different flavors and get to know each pepper. But what about it? I mean, is the like the Carolina Reaper or the Ghost Pepper, that are just so intensely hot, are they practical for putting into a beer?
I'm not sure they're practical for putting into food, period.
That's true. It's more of a stunt than a food.
Exactly. Yeah, I wouldn't start there unless you're just an over-the-top chili head and you want that much piquancy. I think that probably any amount of Carolina Reaper in a beer is going to overpower it.
From my experience with that little bitty piece, and I got to say, I ate 2 more little bitty pieces after that. But every video that I've seen online of people eating those peppers, they eat the whole thing, and then they wind up, it doesn't stay with them very long. They wind up bringing it back up. But you say that you ate a ghost pepper, and you were able to keep it down. And you showed me a video of the effects of your... the physical effects of you're eating that thing, and it didn't look comfortable at all.
Yeah, for those who don't know what I look like, I'm balding, and a few minutes after eating that, I basically looked like a stewed tomato. I kept it down, and then wished I hadn't in the morning.
We won't go into the details there, but yeah, I can't imagine. So you are a braver man than I.
Or possibly just dumber.
Or maybe more inebriated at the time. Or a mixture of the three. I don't know. And you're also younger, which is another thing, you know. So what are we missing? It seems like to me that the field is open. I mean, the you could use your imagination. I mean, there is an endless variety of peppers, and there's an endless, not literally, but an endless list of styles of beer. And it seems like, the field is wide open for playing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a great place to start is to think about food recipes or dishes that you've tried that use chilies and had combinations that you enjoyed. This beer that we're sipping on, the habanero APA, essentially started out with a mango habanero wing sauce. And I thought, I'm getting into some of these. Citra had just come on the market a few years ago, and I thought, some of these tropical fruity hops seem like a natural way to bring in some chili flavors.
Yeah. Yeah, I can picture that. Again, because of the tropical fruit of the hops. And I'm only having half a pint of this, but it's starting to build up in the back of the tongue, which is another consideration. I mean, if you start off mild with the pepper additions, by the end of this pint, you know, if you're sitting and drinking, it's going to build up.
Yeah, absolutely. With not being water soluble, capsaicin kind of coats your palate and the back of your throat, and really just lingers. So definitely, when you think about balance, take a sip, walk away for 5 minutes, take another sip, see how you feel about it. Mm. You can easily end up with something that's over the top, even though you didn't intend it to be that way.
Very nice. Well, this has been fun, and the proprietor has returned to the establishment. Yell hi, Ben.
What's up?
Ben, that conical was missing when we got here.
Yeah, yeah. Don't look in the back of my Subaru.
Just had a big Subaru.
All right, guys, we have other business to attend to. It's good to see you in person again, Sean, and I wish you luck on the brewery.
Absolutely, we'll keep you and your listeners posted for sure.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, thanks again to Sean for the advice on chili peppers, and Ben for the use of the space. And I enlisted the help of Sean and Ben to taste a fun roasted grain experiment that's coming up on the show soon. Always fun to get together with those guys. And it was fun to share the bounty of Northwest Arkansas's brewing scene with Sean. And hope to hear good news before long about the opening of his brewery. If you have, and you can go to 2milebrewing.com, and I believe that's the address. If not, Google it, and you'll find it, and you can keep track of where Sean is on starting the brewery. In the meantime, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com, or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com, and please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our support link, where you can throw a couple of bucks into the tip jar by subscribing financially to our podcasts. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site. For a limited time this holiday season, you can check out our Jumbo Combo with all of our DVDs, our bottle opener, and our Brewer's Logbook together in one box at one special low price. You can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store as well. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. If there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We greatly appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are Alex Stevens Men's Video Game Santa Ugly Christmas Sweater, and which is pretty funny, and Beware of the Chickens Coop Gate or Wall Sign in black with gold raised lettering. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We greatly, greatly appreciate your support. Don't forget you can also join the American Homebrewers Association and subscribe to Brew Your Own magazine through the associate links on basicbrewing.com. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.